NFL Draft.
And he's
Paul Allen, PA in charge. Cuz Nug. Skull Stories. Vikings. NFL Draft.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season.
No way! Sam Darnold is about as good a quarterback as you're going to see in college football.
The construction of the dream.
It's the happiest season.
Oh my God!
OG has the time, a little touch on it. Derwin James went up to get it, and he's picked it off.
There's a comeback screen with Massey, and that was well played by Maurice Hurst.
Well, if Maurice Hurst doesn't make this play, Massey has room to run in the secondary.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Bryant, where the running back to his right keeps him in for blocking. Here comes the hit. Intercepted Alabama. Intercepted by the Tides. Deron Payne.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
First of the season, Marty Brown delivers to the sideline, intercepted. Hurt my feelings. Denzel Ward plucks it out of the air.
On the ground for Daniel Jones, first down Duke. Jones has it again. Looking for the lead block, doesn't get it. Darting in to make the tackle and a loss of two.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I love it, baby.
Woo! There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near.
NFL Draft.
It's the most wonderful time.
NFL Draft.
It's the most wonderful time.
Vikings.
Oh, the most wonderful time.
From Philly Folly to Georgia Jolly.
PA and Charge.
What's up? National Football League Draft Day on your home for the NFL and Vikings football. FM 100.3 The Fan. I'm Paul Allen. The master mixer of the most wonderful time of the day montage, Eric Nordquist. And can I get a witness in a raucous round of applause, Buffalo Wild Wings, the co-host for the first hour of today's show from Fanball.com, the identity of fantasy football in the upper Midwest and the universe. He's not just MTV, he's SCTV. Paul Charchi, ladies and gentlemen, can I get a witness?
Woo! It's Christmas. It's Christmas in April.
Right.
We love this.
If it's Christmas in April, then let's open a couple of gifts.
Yes.
Look at this box in front of us now, Charchi. It's a rather large box.
Very large, like 6'4".
You're frustrated because it's not definitely unless, well, I mean, somebody's pulling a gag on you. It's not a PS4. It's not an Xbox with a box.
Yeah.
It's not some video game from GameStop.
Yeah.
Let's see what it is. Like Charge said, it's National Football League Christmas Day. You open the gift. A lot of tape. Overtaped by Grandma. Oh, my God. It's a game-changing offensive lineman that will lead the Minnesota Vikings from agony to Atlanta.
Thank God.
That's what it is. You see, Grandma was a little short on funds this year, so we only got two gifts. One for me, one for you. Thank you, Grandma. We appreciate the stocking stuffers. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Game-changing offensive lineman, potentially leading the Vikings to the Super Bowl, from Philly Folly to Georgia Jolly. What possibly could be in this box? It's not that big. Oh, there's an envelope with a letter. Thanks, Grandma. The Vikings traded into the second round, and now we have nothing to talk about until 9 to noon tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Grandma, come on. Stop sucking, Grandma.
I don't like the word grandma and sucking being so close to each other.
Calm down.
Okay, let's...
There's something about that that makes me feel weird.
Let's lay it out for what matters most and why. We're going to go Charch, Nordo, me, and then Charch, Nordo, me, and here we are. Here's the first question. What does a day like this, first round of the National Football League draft, the first day of three consecutive days of high leverage speculating, what does it mean to us? Charge, what does a day like this mean to you?
It's a day where you get to exercise your knowledge of all 32 teams, which I love, and you get, if you're really into it, you get to really put names next to teams and start speculating about trades, and you get to show all that you know about following your favorite sport all year long. And I love that part because it brings together so much of my love for the all 32 teams and the National Football League.
God, I love you. Nordo, I can predict your answer in 10 seconds if you'd like.
Okay.
It's a day for me to do a 7 to 11 radio show and get out of the clump that is my house.
I always love that one.
You know what it is?
What?
Is when you end a season in emotional bankruptcy, this is the first official day of the following year's calendar in which the optimism is here.
Yeah.
The hashtag faith is here. The hope selling is here.
That's what it means to us.
And constructing the FML to ATL dream.
Thank you.
And it all starts on Thursday, round one NFL draft, which is today.
Yeah. It's a day the powerhouse that is the National Football League comes clomping on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Wives, girlfriends, kids, NBA, NHL, MLB, everything.
Good luck to the Golf Channel.
The freaking steamroller just comes rolling through. And then you hear about the TV and radio ratings the next day, and you're like, but wait a second, that was an exciting hockey game. I mean, Athletics and Rangers, who doesn't want to watch the guy who just threw the no-hitter? That's when today is the day the NFL starts steamrolling.
Yeah.
Just comes plowing through. You thought those plows on 494 were doing a good job a week and change ago when the foot and a half dropped down?
Yeah.
Wait till Goodell cracks the mic at 7 tonight. It's on. Next question, charge first. What does a weekend like this mean to the Minnesota Vikings? Beginning tonight at 30 and through the weekend, Chargy.
Because the Vikings are already a very good team.
Yes, we are.
They can take they have the luxury of taking an unusual approach to this draft, and that is really doing a lot of advanced planning. Who are the picks that they're going to make in 2018 that they're going to be very glad that they have on roster in 2020 and 2021 and 2022?
Yes.
And more often than not, you know, most of the draft, especially the first few rounds, you're plugging holes with guys that you need to start immediately. The Vikings, through most of this draft, aren't going to be in that position. They will really be a team that will be taking best player available for much of this draft. Outside of the first round, that I think, you know, all things considered, they want to get help on the offensive line.
Yes, Chargy.
That's an immediate need. Most of the rest of these picks are going to be largely best player available, and some of them might be head scratchers.
Yeah.
You might be saying, well, we don't really need a wide receiver as badly as the third round, but we took one.
Yeah.
Well, he's the best player available. We didn't necessarily need, you know, another linebacker, you know, or whatever. I think we're going to be able to take best player available because this is a team that is solved at so insolvent at so many positions.
If I were tweeting the way so many people tweet with like the my job is greater than yours, my day, the greater sign than yours or whatever, because you're just happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mine would be like, my day greater than yours, because I have Charchi the first hour today at the draft show tonight from 7 until at least 11.
Not bad.
And then for the entire feast tomorrow, all 9 segments.
Correct.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and we commemorate it with a Thursday football feast. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Nordo,
yeah.
What does a weekend like this mean to the Minnesota Vikings?
Charge said it best, but I'll say this. When you're 13-3, you don't need a new engine in that car. You need a tune-up. You need to make sure that the carburetor's doing its thing. You need to make sure that the fuel filter's working correctly. You need to patch this thing up, tune it up,
right,
and improve on what was already very good. To Charge's point, we don't have to get 10 great guys. If we get 3 or 4 out of this draft that immediately contribute,
yep,
and again, looking to the future in 2019, advanced planning, future planning, this is the 401k of drafts for the Minnesota Vikings as they not only look to the now, but to the future, PA.
The Minnesota Vikings were 13-3 last year, and despite not knowing it transpired because he was floating outside of Turks and Caicos, they were on the right side of a miracle. The getting is good in Erotic City right now, ladies and gentlemen. This team does not rebuild. This team reloads. And it begins this evening somewhere in the neighborhood of 30. And finally, we welcome the yearly official start of spring. Think about it. The NFL draft is kind of officially the start of spring.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, you can have things going on and then Mother Nature dumps on you. Mother Nature loves Commissioner Goodell. Mother Nature loves the National Football League draft. Look at it outside and think about all these draft shows we've done together, Charchi, for about a decade.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a blustery, rainy, snowy, awful walk to the Winter Park Fieldhouse, to the Convention Center clip in Minneapolis,
the Convention Center,
or U.S. Bank Stadium, or Jimmy's in Badness Heights, or what? Who, what, where, when, and why? Mother Nature loves the National Football League draft,
yes,
and she loves when it comes plowing over all other sports and just gets its clompability on. It's the official start of spring.
It is the official. I want the official start of spring to always be the Masters. But it never works out. It's way too cold here, and there's snow on the ground every bastard. So this is when everything gets warmer, including the prospects of the Vikings winning a Super Bowl.
Mother Nature likes the draft. Game 4, XL Energy Center for the Wild. 1.5 feet of snow. Mother Nature didn't appreciate Chuck Fletcher. Mother Nature loves the National Football League draft, as does 9 to noon. We start getting into speculation around the NFL and for the Minnesota Vikings. That's part of the Tile Shop set list, courtesy of TileShop.com. It's a football feast today. Why wouldn't it be? We have Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com 20 minutes from now. Ben Lieber's in studio right around 10. The getting is good all radio show today. Paul Charchian, Paul Allen, producer Nordo, good morning. From the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios, this is 9 to noon.
NFL Draft.
It's PA in Charge on the Fan.
It's Northern Invasion in Somerset, Wisconsin, and you have a chance to win a 4-pack of weekend passes to Northern Invasion Music Festival. It's May 12th and 13th, just a couple of weeks away, and it's at the Somerset Amphitheater. Register to win by heading to KFAN.com, keyword contests.
9:20, 9 to noon, 7 o'clock tonight, Paul Charchi and Ben Lieber, yours truly, Paul Allen from U.S. Bank Stadium. For the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Draft Party Radio Show. Tomorrow evening, yours truly, Pete Bursich and Wabi from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center for a round 2 of the draft. We will lead up to Meat Sauce and Nordo, who will handle round 3. Then Saturday from TCO Performance Center, Nordo and Sauce will carry you through rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. 7 o'clock tonight, big draft party, PA, Charge, Ben Lieber. Radio presentation at 7 o'clock, beginning with the Cleveland Browns pick, and we will carry you through the Vikings at 30. Non-Vikings or draft-related takes in truncated fashion, because we probably won't have time for it tomorrow. It'll be a day later. First, Chuck Fletcher, no longer general manager of the Minnesota Wild. Your thoughts?
I understand the firing. I mean, the roster composition looks like it can't get through the playoffs. You can point at the coach as well, but I'm more inclined to look at the roster, and you know, they're bound up by a lot of dicey contracts. And so I think that while nobody likes to see that happen, Paul, nobody likes it. Even if you didn't like Chuck Fletcher's style, you didn't like his moves, you know, you don't want to see somebody get fired, but yeah. I understand the move, and I think the fan base, by and large, wanted to see it happen.
Yeah, when Fanball originally moved on from Rick Kamla, I was very negative on that move. But the way you laid it out to me, I completely understood it.
Yes.
So I mean that I pretty much.
And the fan base wanted that move to happen.
Yeah.
Now, they wanted to see us move on.
The Jeff Haydock move, I was completely negative on, and I'm never changing my opinion.
Exactly.
Timberwolves dispatched on a funeral for a friend Wednesday. They got blown out by Houston last evening. Close game for a fair amount early in the fourth quarter, late third. Houston pulls away. Wolves season dead. Your thoughts?
There were moments in the playoffs that gave you reason for hope. Mm-hmm. There was the back and forth game one. There was game three. That was a 1-point affair at halftime. There were moments when the Timberwolves looked like they were requisite to hang with probably the best team in basketball. And so I think this is the outcome we all expected. It's unfortunate that the Butler injury dropped them into the eighth seed. It would have been fascinating to see had they just made it to six.
Yep.
Which, you know, they're a game and a half out of six, or one game out of six.
Yep.
They just could have, you know, the Memphis loss, you know, so it just some of the bad losses, just that's the part that's most frustrating to me, is I would have liked to have seen them not have to match up with Houston or Golden State and then take our chances with another team and see if they couldn't have made a better run.
Your wheelhouse in closing before we go to the A topic. The Minnesota Twins have lost seven consecutive, including three consecutive to the New York Yankees, where we've beaten the Yankees, I swear, like 15 of the last 71 times.
Now, Dan did an amazing breakdown of the futility over the last, 12 years during drive time yesterday.
Yeah. Your thoughts on that?
I did not watch any of the Yankee series. I have no thoughts.
It's not
on
over.
The
misery continues today.
Whatsoever.
It's a four gamer.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So I have very little to add on the Twins side of this at this time.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
I understand. NFL draft this evening. Other than Saquon Barkley, do you feel it is best for teams to wait for running backs? Why I bring it up that way is when we were at the combine last year, from your guy Kareem Hunt through Alvin Kamara, mm-hmm. through A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, yeah. and I, leading with Leonard Fournette through McCaffrey, the whole thing. Deepest running backs draft in like 20 years, all of the experts were telling us.
And they were right.
Running backs draft lived up to the hype.
It did.
Now, the intel this year is that it's an extremely good and deep running backs draft.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as deep as it was last year.
Right.
But there's gold in them Mar Hills.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking with the fact that it's not a great offensive tackle year, it's outside of Bradley Chubb. It's not a great edge rusher kind of
year. You are correct.
Year.
It isn't.
So maybe there are certain positions, three techniques, pass rushers, offensive tackles, maybe a couple of receivers. You have to get the right ones early, which means maybe you let some of these running backs slip. So like Barkley's top five terrorism.
Correct.
But then maybe if a team, like the Vikings covet a running back to replace Jerick McKinnon. I would not be a fan if said back was taken in like the second or third round. I would like to wait. Now, they don't have a fourth round pick,
mm-hmm.
and I think their A topic actually may be we need to find a way to replenish that fourth we gave to Philadelphia in the Bradford deal,
yeah.
which may involve moving 30 to the early part of the second round if they can get, in my opinion, the offensive lineman they want in said spot. But waiting for running backs, or do you think there are like a handful that you have to get very soon?
It depends what you mean by wait. There's a very good chance one running back goes in the first round, and that's it. And there may not be another running back taken until the very end of the first or the top of the second round.
I can't say very good chance off that chart. This feels like 7 o'clock conversation material when Nacho Lieber joins.
Mm-hmm.
The closer I get to the draft, the more I learn about and the more I watch. San Diego State University's Rashad Penny.
Yeah.
This is an incredibly special back.
Yes.
And granted, kickoffs aren't as, kick returns aren't as important now as they have been, like when Cordarrelle Patterson was getting a fair opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The human joystick in Kansas City, Devin Hester, the whole thing. Rashad Penny is the best kick returner running back combo to like come into the draft in many, many years.
Yeah.
So I think I would bet Penny goes in the first round.
He looks special as a returner, but when I watch him as a running back, I don't see the same electricity as a running back that I see as a returner. And I think he needs wide lanes, and I think he needs some space. He does have some strength. You'll see him break some tackles.
Yeah.
I like that part of his game.
I think he's got a little Reggie Bush twitch to him a little bit.
I would agree with that.
He reminds me of Fred Taylor. And Fred Taylor for Jacksonville had a very long, accomplished career.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Penny reminds me of Fred Taylor.
So where Rashad Penny makes sense for the Vikings is he's targeting, will likely go roughly the third round.
Vikings. Rashad Penny?
Yep.
I think he goes in the first round.
No chance.
We'll see.
No chance.
That's why we'll be at U.S. Bank Stadium tonight, baby.
I will happily eat my words.
Or early second round.
You're taking Rashad Penny before Nick Chubb, Sony Michel
right.
is ludicrous.
But see,
those guys are awesome,
and
fully featured
back. I love Sony Michel, and again,
I do too.
I like the depth of the running backs class.
Mm-hmm.
I am just extremely bullish on Penny before those guys behind Barkley.
You know, it's to me, I see if my running back happens to be a good return guy,
mm-hmm.
that's nice, but it's not why I'm drafting a running back solve that problem.
Well, like Mike Hughes, the corner from Central Florida,
yes.
he's also a very accomplished
kick and punt returner.
Yeah, return kind of guy.
Vikings have need for both.
Yeah.
I think Mike Hughes is he's a cornerback, probably will be a slot cornerback. And Paul, I think he's a sneaky Viking potential selection if offensive line doesn't fall right.
Agreed.
And if the guys they want just aren't there at 30, or
yeah.
if they drop back, I think Mike Hughes at cornerback could very well be a Minnesota Viking.
Yeah, in these six options that I will lay out during the draft show tonight, and specifically begin to weed them out as players start getting taken, for me, Mike Hughes, the corner from Central Florida, that's option number two
yeah.
for the Vikings at 30. If the right offensive lineman is not there, what's up with Mike Hughes? If he's not up there, if he's not available there, let's consider trading into the early part of the second round
mm-hmm.
to get an offensive lineman. If that doesn't happen, then there are three offensive linemen I believe they covet at 30, you know, but behind maybe their top one, and we'll go over all that this evening. Last one, then we bring Florio in. I'm not in love with wide receivers in round one. The SMU kid, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore,
mm-hmm.
those are the three most prominent names. And this has little to do with being stung by the Laquon Treadwell situation a few years ago of taking a wide receiver in the 20s. But unless it's for me, for my taste, and that's what's beautiful about the draft. You know, we all have opinions, doesn't make them right or wrong. Teams draft, and then we watch players play,
yeah.
and the opinions establish themselves over the years. It's the slowest of the slow burns. But unless we're like Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, A.J. Green, receivers like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, can't miss stud top 10 guys. I'm wary of taking receivers in the first round unless I absolutely need one and I feel there's like an 85-90% chance the cat's going to be really good. So I don't. Well, I'm not in love with these wide receivers in the first round.
I think it's all about which draft class you're talking about, Paul. And in this one, I agree. This is not a great wide receiver draft class.
Right.
And so we may only see two go in the whole first round.
Right.
And I agree. I don't think it has a lot to do with Laquon. But if you look at what the Vikings have been able to do with Adam Thielen, and you look at what they've been able to do with Stephon Diggs, it certainly suggests. You know, our firsthand experience
yep.
suggests. That, you know, we don't have to get a receiver in the first round. We can
yeah.
try to find help later. Now, one of the things that we're gonna see later in the draft at the wide receiver position is bigger, slower guys, more like the Treadwells out there that can't separate. The difference is the guys going at in the first round, maybe the top of the second, are guys that have some separation. In this draft, there's a thick bunch of mid-round receivers that just don't have a lot of speed, Paul, and struggle to separate. And I don't know that I want to go back to that again after the Treadwell experience. So I just think it's a position the Vikings are likely to not make a move at and not early.
And in closing, before we bring in Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, you know, maybe the Vikings' A topic at 30, and the general manager, Rick Spielman, brought it up 9 to noon yesterday when I was at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center and via his press conference Tuesday. And during a time of subterfuge and flim-flams, I firmly believe he is telling the truth when he says, and he doesn't mention the players, but I will. I mean, look, Anthony Barr is set to become an unrestricted free agent after this season. So is Stephon Diggs. So is Danielle Hunter. Trey Waynes will be going into his fifth year. Mm-hmm. They can pick up the option at $9 million.
Yep, and they will.
Right, and I would guess they have that budgeted in,
yep,
even with Cousins.
Yep.
So let's say Waynes back, even if they take somebody like Mike Hughes.
For at least a year.
Right. But, I mean, that with Barr, Hunter, they signed Kendricks, and Diggs, you know, those are some big spot players and positions, mm-hmm, whose deals are up.
Right.
So it's like offensive line makes most sense at 30 or 62.
For sure.
And you preferably use that guy immediately. And when we play the Niners, that guy is a starter. But to replace Diggs, Hunter, or Barr, you need to take players in a spot in the draft where it lessens the risk. So it's like, okay, they're a fifth-round defensive end. There's Danielle Hunter's replacement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fifth-round defensive end. You know what I'm saying? So that, just keep that in mind at 30 this evening.
They probably can't sign all of the guys they want to sign. And they've probably prioritized the guys they want to sign based, right, on what they know today. And that will change over the course of the season.
I agree.
And this draft could very easily reflect who they don't think is coming back,
yes,
that they'll be able to get. If they think the asking price for Barr is going to be too high,
right,
that they're not going to be able to keep him, then that starts to weigh into the draft picks that you make.
Right.
And that might be a case where that happens. I think Barr is a candidate to be a bubble guy in when the Vikings start prioritizing the deals that they need to give out. It's hard to replace a Stephon Diggs. It's hard to replace a quality starting cornerback like Trey Waynes. They may decide that linebacker is easier to replace.
PA in charge with Florio next.
It's PA in charge.
You know, we believe in each other so much and we've worked so hard that you just know who's there in the foxhole with you. And you know, that's a confident feeling.
On the Fan.
PA in charge. The voice of the Vikings. Florio.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports Network, NBC Sports Radio. Good morning. Welcome to Draft Day. How are you, Michael?
Hi, Paul. How are you, Paul?
We got PA in charge on a Thursday.
Hi, Charge. How are you, Charge?
I'm good. Hey, I want to start with this. Josh Allen had, as it turns out, you know, we're almost getting to a point now where you expect chaos and controversy in the 24 hours leading up to the draft. He had a bunch of really, really deeply inappropriate high school tweets, and you can't unring that bell anymore. I mean, all of your old tweets are all archived by dozens of places. Look at what Joy Reid is going through right now as people are looking at her, you know, 8-year-old tweets. You can't unring that bell. Do you think this is going to be something that we're going to see, you know, more of? And as we're getting to an age of players where they've been tweeting now for, you know, since they were in high school and they were saying dumb high school stuff?
Yeah, I think that it's going to happen all the time, and it's going to be a matter of degree and a matter of content, but when most of these kids get their social media accounts, the parents, especially over the last 10 to 15 years, the parents don't understand what that all means, and the problem is for the people now who are in their teens and early 20s, by the time their parents, their kids are going to be doing other things that they don't even begin to understand that's going to preserve potentially inappropriate content for the future. Mm-hmm. So the parents have to always be at the front edge of what the kids are doing and advise them every step of the way. Stupid kids are prone to do stupid things, and that's just part of the reality. It doesn't mean that we condemn them 7 years later, but if you can intervene, if you can coach, if you can guide, that's part of the challenge of parenting in this day and age where things are said, things are preserved, things are recorded, and then they come back to bite you at the worst possible time.
And by the way, not just for professional, potentially professional quarterbacks, every one of us, if you go apply for a job, many, many HR departments will look at your social media to see what you're all about.
I think it's negligent not to. You have what you have, because anytime someone interviews for a job, you're going to see them at their absolute best.
Mm-hmm.
What you have on social media is everyone at their absolute worst. And anybody who is active in the media space and has opinions about football or anything, politics, whatever, you see the worst of people on their Twitter accounts, on their Facebook pages. And sometimes they think it's perfectly fine. And it's like a different existence, like where you can express yourself in a candid and offensive way because you're doing it in a place where so many people are candid and offensive and profane. It really is an amazing mindset, but that doesn't fly when you're trying to get a job. That doesn't fly when these things come up after the fact, and it paints you in a negative light on a day when someone is going to be putting your name on a card at a spot that, if you go 1 versus 3 versus 5 versus 10 versus wherever, you're talking about millions of dollars that hang in the balance.
So does Josh Allen's, does this move a pick for him? Does he slide because he's got tweets that no organization wants to be a part of and you have to answer to?
Well, that's the thing. You have to answer to it. We hear about distraction all the time. Mm-hmm. So if all things are equal and Josh Allen brings this baggage that other players don't, that could be the deciding factor. That could be the distraction that a team doesn't want to deal with. An issue that you don't want to have in your locker room because there may be some players in there, black players and white players, who would say, what's wrong with this guy? We don't want this guy in here. We all get along. We don't need a guy that has said these things from even if he said it when he was a stupid kid, he's still got something going on inside of him that may not be desirable for us as a team. So I think it could be a factor if you're talking about a close question. And the thing about the quarterbacks this year, it feels like they're all close questions. Mm-hmm. So and look, I boil it down to one of four explanations because the timing of this is suspicious. So either it was one hell of a coincidence, which is entirely possible, or you have an agent who represents another quarterback,
right,
or some other player,
right,
hoping to push Josh Allen down, or it's a team that secretly loves Josh Allen that wants to make him slide and is putting this out there to help Josh Allen be available when they're on the clock. Or it's an enemy that he had either at college or now, or somebody he knew in high school who is finally settling a score, and based upon what happened with Laramie Tunsil a couple of years ago, realizing mm-hmm. the best time to do it is right now. And actually, I think that they played their hand a little bit early. The best time to do it would have been, I don't know, around 5, 6, 7 o'clock
yeah,
Eastern tonight.
That's right.
Right before the draft started.
Yeah. Now, you talk about whether or not it'll slide. Something like this brings your owner into an equation where your owner might not normally be involved. A lot of owners are pretty hands-off, and they let these decisions go to their skilled scouts and personnel
people.
Do
you believe that the owners are hands-off when it comes to these decisions?
Well, but not when it comes to
I got some beachfront property here in West Virginia, if you're interested.
When you have a quarterback who tweets things like, if it ain't white, it ain't right.
No, I agree.
Your owner has to get involved in this, right?
But your question is premised on the idea that they ordinarily don't. I think they are involved. They like to not have their fingerprints on the pick because they mm-hmm. don't want to be accused of meddling. But ultimately, my team, my pick, my investment, and you separate the football side from the business side, some of these guys are more attractive from a business standpoint, and ultimately that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to sell tickets and jerseys and create excitement and have a team that people can get behind. But when you're talking about this complicating factor, this is cover for an owner to get involved. And if the owner already was leaning one guy over another guy, Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen, Sam Darnold over Josh Allen, any other player over Josh Allen, this is the perfect cover to come in and say, hey, I just can't accept
right.
these tweets.
Yep.
And part of that may be true. It may be entirely false. It may be a pretext for saying, I just didn't want Josh Allen in the first place.
Right.
And now,
now
I have
reason.
An opening to come in and say, mm-hmm. I don't want Josh Allen. And, you know, I don't know what the Browns are thinking, but there's been this momentum in the past few days that maybe it's Baker Mayfield. And this gives Jimmy Haslam, if he's thinking Mayfield is the guy, it's all the more reason to go to John Dorsey and say, I can't have Josh Allen joining my team.
Football feast.
I haven't heard that in a while. I've been meaning to ask you, what happened to the football feast drop? I need it every once in a while. It improves my mood from completely miserable to just, you know, mildly ticked off. So thank you for playing that.
Football feast.
And it only works once per segment.
With Dez out of work, is it, and I read the Ravens thing at ProFootballTalk.com. Okay, and I believe it, but is it he can't get the deal he wants, or... are teams waiting to draft to see who they get first?
Well, I think it's a combination. He can't get the deal he wants because the draft is looming. Why are you going to pay Dez Bryant until you know that you don't get the guy that you hope you can get in the draft? So you wait until after the draft. And if you're Dez, right, why are you going to take a deal before the draft? Look at what happened to Adrian Peterson last year in New Orleans. He signs with the Saints before the draft. They draft Alvin Kamara. See you later, Adrian Peterson. They should have mm-hmm. moved him out long before they ultimately realized that it was time for him to go. So I think it's smart to wait. And the money will likely be better, and the opportunity will be better if he waits until after the draft. You know, his best play, guys, could be to wait until someone gets injured.
Yeah,
and we've seen it
camp.
Happen before. Michael Crabtree's playing for the Ravens now. He tore an Achilles back in 2013 after the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. OTA, you take a step, out it goes. And I think that that's something that could assist Dez Bryant and finding a landing spot, because I think it's not just about getting paid. I think he wants to have the opportunity to get on the football field and show the Cowboys that they got this thing wrong. I mean, they basically slammed the door in his face this week, because I thought maybe if the Cowboys don't get the guy they want in the draft, because everybody knows they're looking for a receiver, maybe they call Dez, hey, you know, Dez, there's nothing out there for you, and maybe now you realize $12.5 million is way too much. Maybe we get him for $2 or $3 million. They're making it clear they don't want him.
And I don't think Dez has done anything to slam that door shut either. I don't remember him, you know, he didn't drop any bombs on the organization
well,
on his way out the door.
Here's what I think. I think that, well, he did a little bit, but I think that they made the business decision, the tactical decision, and they projected, what will life be like? We have an emotional guy who's always worn those emotions on his sleeve. He's always been right on that edge, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's problematic, and we're sensing a little bit of slippage in his play. If we throw on top of that a guy who is upset because we took away money that he believed he was entitled to, then we're going to have a guy that's even more likely to become emotional at inopportune times and more just generally upset with everything we say and do, and it's better to not have him here at all than have him here and have him disgruntled.
Billy Price was thought to be a first-round center guard out of Ohio State, but then he tore his pec. And now, yesterday, across my Twitter feed, I'm seeing somebody took photos of the doctor letter saying he's going to be okay by the time training camp rolls around, which seemed a little bit extraordinary. Do you believe that Billy Price in this move has moved him back into a position to be a first rounder again?
Well, all that matters is whether one team out there believes it's worth taking the chance. And, you know, the fact that this is even a question underscores the risks of engaging in all these various activities under the cover of a job interview. I can't wait for the day that one of the top prospects says, I'm not doing anything. I've already worked for free and taken risks for free for the last three years.
I love that.
If you want to draft me, draft me. If you don't want to draft me, let one of your competitors draft me, and I'll see you twice a year.
I love the way you phrase that. Last one. Billy Price, I believe, is in play for the Vikings at 30 this evening. Mm-hmm. Not the A topic, but at 30, you got obviously need to have myriad options. He could be one of them. Vikings at 30 and throughout the draft, to take the 13-3 and make it better, what would you like to see?
Offensive line. I mean, Paul, you know as well as anyone that even though the team was better last year, the offensive line wasn't that much better. Case Keenum's mobility bought time. He was uncanny. I think that was the most underrated aspect of his game. Mm-hmm. He had a great instinct to run away from pressure and keep his eyes down the field while he did. And you can see it in some of the highlights. He'd move, reset, look, move, reset, look, move, stop, throw to a guy who popped wide open. And I don't know that Kirk Cousins can move the same way. And I don't think you want Kirk Cousins to have to put in that kind of physical component to his game. I think ideally, long term, You want a contending team. You want a pocket passer whose jersey is clean at the end of the game. And I think that means invest in offensive linemen.
All right, one last thing. I heard you talking on your show this morning about the importance of the fifth-year option, the importance of getting into the first round. Vikings may end up trading out of the first round. I want to give you one caveat to that. Quarterback position. By the time you're if you take a quarterback in the first round, I don't think you're very likely to exercise that fifth-year option. By then, he's either a bust and you've moved on, or you're paying him a lot of money because he's a quality starter at that
time. Yeah, but if the Patriots had done that with Jimmy Garoppolo, if they'd gotten him at the bottom of round one, they wouldn't have had to trade him last year to the 49ers, and they'd be able to kick the can one more year.
Fair point.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Enjoy the draft. Call you next week.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Thank you. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 10 hours.
10 hours. Now, is that to the start of the draft or is that to the Vikings pick?
10 hours.
Or 12 hours to the Vikings pick.
10 hours, 8.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Good evening, U.S. Bank Stadium. Welcome to the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Draft Party. Former Vikings linebacker, elite football mind Ben Lieber, Fanball.com's Paul Charchian, and I'm Paul Allen. The Cleveland Browns live life on the clock, and funny, they're back on the clock again. Welcome, guys. That's X amount of hours and 8.5 minutes from now. Can't wait to see you and do the radio show with you tonight.
Absolutely.
And we have the feast tomorrow.
We do. It'll be a ton of fun, and there's going to be a ton of trades and a ton of movement.
Right.
I don't think if you're a Viking fan, don't show up at 10. We're looking for the Vikings pick. There's going to be drama from beginning to end of that first round.
Nacho Man, Nacho Lieber in studio when 9 to noon continues.
It's PA in charge.
One goal that I know that he and I have in common is we want to win.
On the Fan.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And to all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
Check it, check it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski.
Lieber.
I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good.
NFL Draft.
And if you don't know, now you know, you know.
I'm going to ask you the same two questions I asked Paul Charchian and Eric Nordquist to start the show. And Ben Lieber, just stream your consciousness and whatever comes out, comes out. What does a day like this, and you don't have to giggle, I'm not looking because you know I'm giddy. You know, type A guy is full of anxiety right now.
Yeah.
You're looking at me, laughing at me.
Because... I am, because I don't know. I wasn't listening to the start of the show, so I want to know what I'm up against.
Yeah, but we've worked together long enough, so you know on big spot days, my personality is a certain type A+, where you either stay out of the way, you don't poke it, or you don't take it seriously, because it can be combustible. And that's one of these days. So you're laughing at me right now, which is completely fine because I know I'm wound up and it's palpable and you can see it on my countenance.
I like it though.
Just let me live my life. Okay. But let me ask these questions. A day like this, NFL draft day leading into the weekend, like what does it mean to you? Do you enjoy it? Like what's it mean to you?
It means more to me now than it was as a player. And I think I've talked about this before that as a player, I was so thin-skinned and so worried about what they're going to say about linebacker or need or trashing me or something that I didn't really want to know. So I went head in the sand and I didn't pay attention. And if they drafted a linebacker, then fine. I was just going to deal with it as the news came out.
Okay.
And that's sort of what happened while I was in San Diego.
for the 2018 Minnesota Vikings. Or really, we can say, because of the contractual situations for Anthony Barr, Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, and maybe Trey Waynes, but definitely the first three. Given that, let's say 2018 and 2019 Minnesota Vikings, because our quarterback will be Kirk Cousins both years. Adam Thielen will be on the team. Riley Reiff will be on the team. Linval Hungry, Harrison, Kendrick, some of your best players, Xavier. What does these next 3 days mean to the Minnesota Vikings? From 30 tonight through rounds 2 and 3, then Saturday, the meat and potatoes, rounds 4 through 7. How big is this for the current state of the Vikings?
Well, it's immeasurable, the importance of the draft for every team. I mean, it's so hugely important to build your foundation, build your team. So you're talking about just the Vikings specifically. Well, let's hope that they solidify their offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, let's find a guy that's requisite of a 30th pick, that you're not overly reaching, but a guy that you're hoping that can come right in from day one and start.
Yeah.
And give you some position flexibility with some other guys and add depth. The number 30 pick, if they go offensive line, should not be the only offensive line that they take during this draft.
Right.
They need to take at least two guys, at least, and maybe a six-rounder as well. One of the six-round guys could be an offensive line.
Do you think in 18 they need two new offensive line starters? Because let's say Chan Hassan center Frank Ragnow,
yeah,
from Arkansas, is selected at 30. All right, they're starting whatever guard, probably right guard. Remmers plays right tackle most likely. Now at left guard, you got Nick Easton. So then now we spend an offseason reanalyzing opinions of Nick Easton, or maybe Danny Isadora pushes him.
Sure.
Maybe new guy Tom Compton pushes him.
Right.
Or do you come right back at 62? Like, say there's a cat with the last name Corbett, Austin Corbett, a guard from Nevada, along with Billy Price with the peck from Ohio State. I think the Price bit's a pipe dream. But say, like, one of those two are available right around 62. Do you do it again and give them a chance to start at left guard?
And now all of a sudden you're superseding the other picks, mm-hmm, the other positions. Defensive tackle,
yep,
corner.
You're lacking a fourth round pick because of the Bradford clip.
Exactly. So that means you're bypassing a nickel, you're bypassing a corner, possibly safety, although this is not a great safety draft, possibly a receiver.
Yeah.
I still think they need a big body receiver. You know, and that's going back to your original question, is what this draft can do is it can really help you make decisions on the guys that you didn't mention off the top that are going to be on this team for a long time.
Yep.
There are a number of guys in big playmaking spots that have their contracts up.
Yep.
And now if you find, let's say you find a diamond in the rough that, you know, is going to be cheaper. And, you know, as much as we all love Stephon Diggs, let's say you find a third round receiver that is taller, maybe gives you a little bit more of a compliment to the little bit more undersized Adam Thielen, and, you know, maybe you don't have to pay Stephon Diggs a lot of money.
Right.
And, you know, so you have to make some business decisions. You maybe find a guy in the third round that can give you a little bit more than Danielle Hunter and maybe has a little higher ceiling, has maybe a little bit more potential. Hopefully you find a guy at defensive tackle that, you know, after 1 year, you know, let's say Sheldon Richardson doesn't work out, then yep, you found your guy. So you can answer some questions, but you won't be able to find out until the season starts.
Yeah.
But it sounds like if those deals aren't done at the start of the season, then they're not going to do any deals until the end of the season. So you can find a lot of answers in this draft.
Draft opinions do labor. You will get them again this evening, not only on the radio, but from 6:30 to 7 with our friends at Fox 9. There is a special draft special from U.S. Bank Stadium featuring Hobie Artigue and Don Mitchell. Yours truly, along with Ben Lieber, will be part of the presentation. That's this evening, 6:30 to 7 o'clock on Fox 9. Then, of course, as we've mentioned all week, yours truly, Ben Lieber, Paul Charchian, from 7 until somewhere between 10:30 and 11:30 this evening at the Vikings draft party, walking you up to and through the Vikings pick at 30. Ben also will be offering some draft opinions Saturday, sometime between noon and 3, with a Nordo and meat sauce on rounds 4 through 7. FM 100.3, The Fan, your home for everything funky, fun, and draft related, beginning right now with 9 to noon. Fox 9, 6:30 tonight, and then our draft show at 7 o'clock. Should the public be upset? Not will, should the public be upset if the Vikings don't select offensive line at 30?
Well, it all really depends on what happens before the draft. You know, I've identified a few teams that to pay attention to, namely the Seahawks, the Bengals, the Bills, and the Panthers.
Yeah.
If those four teams go offensive guard heavy, yep, not tackle, but offensive guard heavy, mm-hmm, then I could say it may be a stretch at 30 to go after the fifth or sixth best
guard.
Offensive guard.
Yeah.
Then I would say, how have the cornerbacks fallen?
Right.
And if there's a run on corners, then that might be a good spot to trade back.
Yep.
So I would say you have to take the draft for what it is at 30. You can't get dead set on one guy. You can't get dead set on one position,
yep,
because there are other positions of need. We all understand. I think most of Vikings Nation understands that offensive line is an area of need, whether it's some sort of right tackle, which I don't think the tackle class is very good outside McGlinchey.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Colton Miller, and a lot of people have him number two.
Yeah, I wouldn't. At 30, he's like, when I lay out my options, you know, there's a guard, as we'll share tonight, 7 to 11. There's a guard I prefer at 30. Mike Hughes, the corner from Central Florida, is behind him for me if he's available, if the right guard is not available. Then trying to trade somewhere early in the second round, get a fourth round pick where you can get a guy you want who's comparable to somebody at 30. But then after that, for me, you know, this might, it's an opinion. It's not wrong or right.
Yeah.
If that UCLA tackle Colton Miller is available at 30 and like a Frank Ragnow or Mike Hughes aren't, I take Miller and I start him at right tackle and I use Remmers at guard. So now I got Reef and I got Miller. And I got Remmers, and I got Elflein. And I think I've immediately upgraded. But maybe I'm higher on this UCLA guy than you.
Yeah, you might be. But the thing is, the way you lay it out, if Ragnow is gone and Hughes is gone, and that goes back to my previous statement, if all of these other guys that I think are higher value,
yep,
then you could maybe sell me on Colton Miller. But I don't love him. Like,
right,
you know, especially as a left tackle, which is where he was, yeah, at last year with UCLA. He just got pushed around too much. I think he is athletic, and you have to have, in this day and age in football with offensive linemen, they are getting a little bit more svelte and a little more athletic than they are big, strong, and powerful.
Yep.
But he just doesn't pack enough punch for me. So I don't like him that much.
Ben Lieber's official quarterback rankings into tonight go, this is by preference, not by pick, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, UCLA, Lamar Jackson, Louisville, Sam Darnold, USC, Josh Allen, Wyoming. Take reset time in case you've missed it the 15 times he has unfurled it with the Power Trip or yours truly or on Twitter. Why Baker first?
Well, I've had a chance to actually watch him a bunch of times during the course of the college season, and I called a UCLA game too, so I watched a few Josh Rosen games as well.
Did Josh actually play when you called it?
No, he was injured.
He
had that weird concussion thing that he's had two registered concussions, which he's missed quite a considerable amount of time, which is kind of a red flag for a lot of teams. I've watched enough Sam Darnold tape as well, being covering some Pac-12 games. So I feel like I've watched enough tape to understand generally who these quarterbacks are. And to me, my money is on Baker Mayfield. And I know that you can't ignore some of the antics with the flag thing, which I think is just sort of fun.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
The flag thing doesn't bother me.
The flag thing's in the rearview mirror. The Favre mock laying on the bed was funny, creative.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
It was brilliant. But he's getting knocked for that because, granted, people knock people for everything.
Yeah,
but it's like, who do you think you are? You're not Brett Favre. He doesn't think he's Brett Favre.
He doesn't think he's Brett Favre. He's just having fun with an old school retro picture, and they pulled it off, and his mom was involved and all that stuff. Like,
wow.
You know, family and friends are involved, and it's just kind of a fun bit.
Yep.
And that's what he is. He is entertainment value. But if you know anything about his background, everybody wants to have the comparison to Johnny Manziel. And they're like, well, Johnny was entertaining as well. And Johnny, you know, people want to tune into Johnny as well. They're two completely different people. Johnny was a entitled, spoiled brat, and everybody knew it, but everybody overlooked it. He admittedly did not prepare in college and just went out there and winged it. That is not Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has had to work for everything. He was overlooked in high school because he was too small. At Texas Tech, he wanted out because he wasn't going to start. He goes to OU, where they basically said, you're going to have to earn your way on this team.
Yep.
Fights and scraps and claws, shows the biggest heart and leadership possible, and goes out and is a phenomenal player. He makes other people around him better. And having a chance to sit down with Lincoln Riley when I was there, you can just see it in his eyes. He loves the kid. And he loves the kid not just because he's putting OU, you know, keeping OU on the map. Mm-hmm. He loves him for what he does for that team. And you could truly see that this kid is something special. And he has that intangible that it's hard to measure.
Ben Lieber at Nacho Lieber. Does he have an official prediction for the Vikings at 30? Find out next.
You're listening to PA.
In those days, they wouldn't go to hell for $5 more like they do today.
On the Fan.
You heard the liner right there. You can join fellow Vikings fans on the field at U.S. Bank Stadium for the Miller Lite Vikings Draft Party. It is tonight. Follow the entire first round of the NFL Draft with live coverage from the Fan as we welcome the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings. Tickets are available for walk-up. Just head to the U.S. Bank Stadium box office, or even better than that, get to Vikings.com/draft party. You can check them out there, too.
With your quarterback rankings, the ones you prefer.
Yep.
Why Lamar Jackson third?
Watch him. I mean,
he's electric.
He's electric. Yeah. And I'm not saying just watch him when he's running around and creating plays and making plays out of nothing or taking broken down plays and running for first downs and touchdowns. I look at his ability to get better each and every year of staying in the pocket, going through his progressions, trying to be a complete quarterback. He's not a finished product, but he has a bigger arm than most people think. He does have to work on accuracy, which there's a disagreement in the football world whether or not you can improve accuracy that much in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm not a quarterback guru. I do know that is one of his deficiencies. But when it comes to sheerly just making plays in a newer, modern NFL, I have him ranked above Sam Darnold because of all those other athletic intangibles and having a strong arm, and then conversely looking at Darnold, and yep. You think you can make the same arguments that if you're a bad decision maker in college, you're probably going to be a bad decision maker in the NFL. And I think you look at Jameis Winston as case number one. I think Sam Darnold will be like a Jameis Winston, where he will flash some brilliance and yep. be like, this kid has it all. Look his stature, look at his arm strength. Look what he can do, but I think he's just going to be a head-scratcher because he's going to make these really bonehead decisions and throws and interceptions that are going to cost your team, and over the course of a couple years, you're going to sit on him and like, is he a franchise guy? Is he not a franchise guy? Where do we see him? Does he fall in this Joe Flacco world where it's like he's good enough that you just can't get rid of?
Right.
So I would go with Lamar Jackson because I think he's got a higher ceiling.
Two of my favorite draft opinions. Weeks up to the draft. My guy Corey Chavis from DraftNasty.com, he has Lamar Jackson as his number one quarterback. He's his favorite quarterback in the draft, and he explains why. 9 to noon or via DraftNasty. Mike Mayock did the Mike Mayock draft last night on NFL Network. He only does one of them. He put Lamar Jackson middle of the first round at Baltimore. And he formulated a take that in the oversaturation of takes due to social media, I actually had not heard. Maybe I've missed it. But he's like, eventually you need an heir apparent for Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. The backup is RG3. There's nobody more perfect to help you segue your offense to what it's going to look like post-immobile Flacco than Robert Griffin III. To have him working with you about what next is going to look like, which may not include RG3. I thought that was so Mayock put Jackson on the Ravens, and the RG3 angle was kind of big to him.
That is kind of big, but the sad thing is that I think that Lamar Jackson is already comparable to what RG3 is now. Yeah. And I guess we don't even know what RG3 is now because we haven't seen him in a while. But yeah. You know, I think that Lamar is just a better passer than RG3 was. RG3 was much more of a just a running quarterback in Baylor's system, and his numbers were really supremely inflated because of all the throws behind the line of scrimmage and at the line of scrimmage.
In the NFL, RG3 picked on the middle of the field, and he was not an outside the numbers kind of guy passing, you know?
No, and again, that goes back to, you know, even when we evaluate KD Cannon or Corey Coleman and some of these recent wide receivers at Baylor, they're not asked to run a lot of routes. And thus, the quarterback doesn't have to know the route tree and really be anticipating a lot of breaking routes. It's a lot of hitches, it's a lot of slants, and it's a lot of goes, and it's a lot of step-back screens.
Yeah.
So that's it. And that's why I think those guys in those systems have a hard time transitioning to the NFL.
Can you predict 30?
No, it's impossible to predict 30. I mean, there are guys, I'm sure, I mean, we've already talked, like, that you like, that I like, that Charch likes.
Yeah. Who do you like at 30? If football God came down and said, realistically speaking, you know, let's not say Bradley Chubb. Let's not say Baker Mayfield. Realistically speaking, somebody realistically possible at 30, if you could handpick that individual, the football God wants to grant you this gift, who would it be?
I would probably say it's a toss-up between Isaiah Wynn and Frank Ragnow.
Right.
And I think after that, then I would stretch into James Daniels out of Iowa,
mm-hmm.
Who was very athletic, a touch lighter than the other guys.
Yep.
But I think those two, if they're around, I'd be happy with either one.
So with Wynn, offensive lineman from Georgia, if I feel he has a labrum injury that will cost him 4 to 6 months, and labrums have a tendency, you just got to be careful with them.
Careful.
Like early in somebody, it's not like, okay, well, that thing's done, we don't have to worry about it again. Would that preclude you from selecting Isaiah Wynn? Because this labrum situation for me, I'm out. I don't want to deal with it. At 30, I don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Will Hernandez, offensive line from UTEP, putting a lot of work into him this week. I like him. I think for like Norv Turner's offense, power running, vertical passing,
yep.
John Gruden with Kelechi Osemele, guys like that. Yeah, I like Hernandez in that power road grading game.
Yes.
With what I think DeFilippo's going to do, I'm just not in on Will Hernandez.
I agree with 100%.
And there's a Texas tackle named Connor Williams,
yep,
where I like him, but I'm not sure he's played enough guard to play guard. At tackle, I don't know if I like him a lot at tackle. So I'm a little out on him too.
Right. All of that stuff I agree with. I mean, even Orlando Brown from OU. You know,
yeah.
You put on his tape, and he's a hard guy to run around because he's just so damn big.
Yep.
But then you couple that with, well, he doesn't necessarily physically dominate people. He just sort of gets in the way.
Yep.
For as big as he is, I don't think he has enough push in the run game.
Could Brown be like your former teammate, Phil Loadholt?
Yeah, that's a really good comparison. That's a really good comparison. Yeah. But I think
you won a bunch of games with Phil.
But I think Phil, at least from what the combine people are saying and all of his draft interviews, like, Phil cared about the game a lot more than Orlando Brown did.
Right.
And when you have to, he's going to be a right tackle, and you've got to like motivate him and push him, mm-hmm, and keep him hungry all the time. I think that's going to get exhausting. It's going to cost you more games because of his lazy attitude.
Yep.
So I would pass on that. That's why I'm not in love with any one of these tackles. Possibly, you know, you brought up Colton Miller, but when it comes to pure guards, being at the labrum issue, you know, Steve Hutchinson, people probably don't recall, but late in his career with the Vikings, he dealt with the torn labrum as well.
Ooh.
And he had to wear the little arm brace and shoulder harness and all that stuff. And he would even say like how difficult it is to punch with that hand. And not only just to punch, but maintain that strength throughout as you're trying to mirror a guy that's pushing against you. So if his labrum, Isaiah Wynn's labrum, is as bad as it sounds like it is, and if it's anywhere comparable to what like Hutchinson was going through,
mm-hmm,
you know, Hutch is an all-pro, you know, potential Hall of Famer. That he had a hard time dealing with it as well, and he wasn't 100%. So given that Ragnow's coming off an ankle injury, which is not going to be an issue, that's he's 100% going to be cleared for that, then, yeah, if it was a toss-up between the two, I'd take Frank.
Take reset time, take two. Who are some players you learned about and saw during your Fox TV games working college football you would like to see on the Vikings?
I'm in love with this safety hybrid Kaiser White out of West Virginia.
Very cool.
You know, it's Kevin White's brother.
Yeah.
He's got a brother, Karan White.
Is he safety corner or safety linebacker?
He's safety linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, can he be taught how to be a little bit more patient in the middle of the field?
Mm-hmm.
I think that remains to be seen. But if you're asking for me, who's a pure football player that just sort of like pops on film, and I think that would be a Mike Zimmer type of guy, I think he fits that mold perfectly. And yep. I think later in the draft you could probably get him.
Yep.
Another guy is Dimitri Flowers. He's now, does he fit on a team like this? He's a fullback out of Oklahoma.
Fullback, you say?
He's a fullback H-back out of Oklahoma. The guy's a
fullback, the forgotten position.
He's just a playmaker. And I don't know where he's best fit.
Yeah.
You know, especially with what DeFilippo's going to do.
Yeah.
But, man, the guy can catch out of the backfield. He can do everything.
Yeah.
He's a throwback football player.
Is he Lorenzo Neal?
Oh, he's better than Lorenzo Neal.
What?
As far as athleticism, Lorenzo was a straight ahead, just like, I'm going to knock your face off.
Yeah. He was a badass.
He was a badass, and I had to hit that badass every day in practice.
Down sucked. By the goal line, who wants to deal with Lorenzo Neal?
Nobody.
So wait, when you played linebacker here, you had to deal with like the Madison Hedgecocks of the world, right?
Yeah.
Like the squatty, yeah, the fire hydrant, school, yeah, fast, the, old school fullback.
Yeah, the old school like Ram Mans from He-Man. Like These guys would just pad up. They get these gigantic shoulder pads with a neck roll and a helmet, and they're all like on their tiptoes. They're 5'10".
Yeah,
you know, so they're just like little squatty bodies. And I'm 6'3", and I got to get underneath them. It sucked.
Last couple for Ben Labor. What do you do with Saquon Barkley? Not what do you think will happen. I think he goes to Shermer at 2.
Yeah, I think so too.
But what would you do with Saquon Barkley if you could like control it?
It's endless. I mean, the guy can do it all.
Yeah, I love him. He and Bradley Chubb are freaking believable.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I'm Cleveland, I take Barkley or Chubb first, and then I take a quarterback fourth. I mean, I know you love Mayfield, but, I mean, you might be able to get Baker at 4, but you certainly can get one who probably can play now.
Well, if you're not in love with any one of them, and you're fine with Tyrod Taylor at this point, and you just sort of want to see what he does with a fresh start, you know, getting brought over from the Bills, and you get a guy like Saquon as a running back.
Yeah.
Shoot, man, you may have something there because that guy is special. And I said it this morning, and you know, I know it's a huge, lofty comparison, but I'm looking at just physical attributes, not necessarily production, what he's going to do in the NFL. But he's the closest thing to Bo Jackson that I think I've seen in a long time.
Where new guys generally can't control themselves is like new coaches, Pat Shurmur, offensive guy, Matt Patricia, defensive guy. I mean, I'd bet a lot that Shurmur takes an offensive guy at 2. And Patricia, coach of the Lions, takes a defensive guy wherever they pick.
Yeah, it's probably most likely.
They want to start with their opinion, my idea, my guy.
Yeah, and Detroit, because if they're going to do everything that Patricia did with New England, you know, they're going to want, you know, strong corners that can play man-to-man. Mm-hmm. They need a corner, so they may go corner with their first pick.
You do any San Diego State games?
I did not, no.
Okay, this... I don't watch San Diego State, but I put a lot of work into this Rashad Penny the last week and a half. And it's just sinkhole work to have good opinions for the draft because I don't believe there's any way the Minnesota Vikings, who I believe will take a running back, can angle themselves to Penny. And then if they get Penny, you know, they still have Murray and Cook. But, I mean, I'd like him on the team, don't get me wrong. 5'11 running back, kind of in love with him. Reggie Bush twitch, reminds me of Fred Taylor. Best kick returner to enter the draft in a long time. I think with this Rashad Penny, I think somebody's going to get somebody really, really good here.
No, I would agree with that as well. He's sort of the guy that nobody's talking about. You know, it's hard to be the leading rusher in all of college football last year, and yet nobody's talking about you. And we're not talking about a guy that just played in a system, and he's like this little quick scat back that maybe can't fit. He's a bigger running back that can run over you. He's got really good feet to make you miss. You mentioned the return game. I think he's had 7 returns in his career on kickoff return for San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really nice player, and they've had a pretty good lineage of good running backs at San Diego State, and he's just the next one. So I think you're going to get a really good player out of Rashad Penny.
Last one. I like. I believe the Vikings had interest in Trey Burton from Philly in free agency. When it got up to $8-9 million a year, whatever it is, 8, they were out. But I think the tell here for me is that the new offensive coordinator, who was the quarterback's coach for the champs, was Zach Ertz and Trey Burton. I believe he wants a field-stretching tight end. Not necessarily the Red Ellison type, the David Morgan type. Somebody he can flex out who can run down the field. I think this is a Saturday venture for the Vikings. The one I like is a 25-year-old, believe it or not, from Central Florida named Jordan Akins. Last question. The Vikings field-stretching tight end and slot receiver that you like if both are available and with equal grades. So here we are, say, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have no field-stretching tight end. We have no slot receiver. I got these two guys with equal grades. One is a tight end. One is a slot wide receiver. You can't have both positions at this pick. Which is more vital and why?
I think you go tight end.
Right.
I would say that my suggestion was if you're in that situation, you would opt to go with the tight end, knowing that you put a lot of defenses and defensive coordinators in really tricky situations when you have 12 personnel in the game at most times. And 12 personnel is one running back, two tight ends. You're on the verge of going nickel because you know that one of your tight ends is basically a third wide receiver is going to be split out.
Yeah.
You pair him with Kyle Rudolph, who Kyle is not a great run blocker, but he can play, you know, he can play attached to the line in the D area.
Mm-hmm.
So he can give you sort of a more of a power running look. And so you're caught in between, do I go base personnel?
Right.
Do I go nickel personnel?
Like it.
And now you have that flexibility with your personnel to even go four wides with two tight ends because we know Kyle can catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not the greatest after the catch, but we know he can get open. We know he's got sure hands. He can make plays and find and be a mismatch. You get a taller field stretching tight end, which unfortunately not a ton of in this draft.
Yeah.
But if you find a guy and locate a guy that you think can be that guy, man, I say you go tight end just for all those things that we brought up. And you know, if I could stretch here a little bit, Alan Lazard is a receiver out of Iowa State.
Whoa.
He's a wide receiver now.
Out of where?
Out of Iowa State.
Got it.
He'll be a later round guy because he's a tweener. Because he's not quite twitchy enough to be, I think, a number one or number two receiver.
Yeah.
But he's 6'4 and almost 230 pounds right now. I think you ask him to pack on 10 more pounds, 15 more pounds, which
make him that guy.
He's got a big enough frame to do that, and yeah. I don't think that he's going to lose a lot of speed.
Yep.
There you go. You got your guy.
Thanks for the opinion. See you for the radio at 7 o'clock tonight.
All right, man. See ya.
Ben Lieber at Nacho Lieber via Twitter. Second half of the presentation next.
You're listening to PA.
Can I get a go, Vikings?
1, 2, 3, go, Vikings!
On the Fan.
NFL Draft. Vikings.
Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body line.
Winnersville.
Shake, 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 Sinora, shake it all the time.
Football
work,
feast.
Work, work, Sinora, work your body line.
NFL Draft.
Work, Sinora, work it all the time.
News du Nord.
News du Nord brought to you every single weekday, courtesy of Canterbury's Card Casino. Poker, blackjack, table games, all year round. And a week from tomorrow, live racing begins again. Fresh new season at Canterbury Park. Go to CanterburyPark.com for all the event details.
Number one.
Let's do this, PA. We'll start with this in a series where there was just too much of this.
Alley-oop. Harding from midcourt this time to Capella, who caught it and dunked it. The Wolves fell asleep.
Don't blink in this game.
Don't blink. Final score.
And it's over. The game is over, and the series is over as the Rockets beat the Wolves tonight in Game 5 here at Toyota Center. The final score, 122-104, and win this series 4-1.
They certainly did. That courtesy of KBME AM 790 in Houston. There was a thought, you know, looking at this series, PA, maybe the Wolves weren't your typically overmatched 8 seed. Got some talent. Jimmy back in the mix post-injury. Cat and Wiggins needs to wake up, etc. Jeff Teague made the playoffs every year of his career, but ultimately, the Wolves kind of feel like your typical overmatched 8 seed. Houston moving on in 5 games, 122-104 the final. The Wolves actually had a halftime lead last night.
Yep.
But then another third quarter onslaught from Houston ended it. Season's over.
Houston had 30 in the third. I mean, that's doable. The problem is we had like 15.
Yes.
I think the Wolves scored 15 points in the third quarter.
Not going to do it.
Now, the Wolves were not requisite of keeping up with Houston in this series. It's great. The local fan base, super special Jimmy Kay, stats Dave Handlin, and the rest of the die-hardest of all the diehards. I'm glad they got a victory. The Wolves were overmatched and outclassed, and... You know, those who have listened to 9 to Noon the last X amount of years, A, know I dig the NBA, and B, know Jimmy Butler is my favorite player. I don't know if it's multifaceted injury-related or whatever. Jimmy, despite some good box scores, was not the same guy to me all series.
No.
And he got banged around a lot in the pick-and-roll game because he had Harden responsibility. Personally, with all due respect, I was supremely disappointed in Butler last night. And Wiggins was regular season Wiggins last night.
Two games, really.
Yeah, I mean, the previous game is difficult for me to really hammer hard on anything because of the 50-point third quarter onslaught.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the ultimate haymaker. But last night, I was very happy with the way certain Wolves were playing for a fair amount defensively. Jimmy's defense was not requisite of Jimmy Butler defense all series. And Wiggins went to floating again last night. I did not like his defense. I'm just, again, supremely concerned that him taking over games and becoming the identity of a team, if only for a patch, is just not going to take place. And Andrew gave more positive memories than he did negative memories this series. But in the previous two, as you mentioned, but specifically last night with lives on the line, professional lives on the line, I thought he was disenchanted. And also, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, he had some big box score to him this series where Carl had good box scores. Carl scored. Carl had some fire at home. But the next step for him needs to include some attitude, some cliched swagger, and looking at a guy who embraces not only the underdog role, but the killer mentality that the best in the NBA have when it comes to winning games.
Carl outplayed by Clint Capella, if you're going big v big in this series?
Yes. Box score for box score, it probably wasn't that bad. But Capella impacts the defensive side markedly more than Carl. And that's part of the game, too.
Let's hear what Tibbs had to say, summing up the season.
After 14 years of not being in the playoffs, in a very tight playoff race, to finish one game out of the fourth spot, it's a major jump from where we were 2 years ago. We have to make a commitment to continue to improve, but I'm very proud of what this team did.
Proud the team ended the playoff drought, no doubt about it. What about Karl Anthony Towns, his thoughts?
I've learned a lot, especially in this playoffs. You know, you understand a little bit of the difference between regular season and postseason. We haven't been there in like 14 years, so there's experience that needed to be garnered if we wanted to take that next step. We came up short tonight, but we're very confident in ourselves leading up to next year.
Outside of Portland, and I think it's very 50-50, depending on who has home court advantage, of all the playoff teams and games that I've watched, there's not a team the Timberwolves can beat in the Western Conference. And in the Eastern Conference, in a 7-game series, they would not beat Toronto. I do not believe they would beat Washington. I do not believe they would beat Boston. I know they wouldn't beat Philadelphia. Cleveland and Indiana, I think, has some 50-50-ish to it. Maybe 60-40-ish in the Cleveland situation. But this, I agree with Carl. I mean, for Andrew and Carl, this was an eye-opening experience. So I can't wait to watch them next year to see if they learned off of this experience. But overall, it had some buzzkill to it because first game was super close and it looked like you could sell some hope. They were awful in game two. They were extremely good in game three. And then the previous two third quarters, games four and five, were just ridiculous and not requisite of playoff teams.
In other news, ridiculous as well. Rubio, awful shooting night, 4 of 14 for him. They had like a 25-point lead.
Yeah.
Westbrook goes MVP Westbrook with 45 points.
Yeah.
Paul George added 34.
Yeah.
And they came back from that huge deficit. I think they force a game six. It's 3-2 still in favor of the Jazz. A
couple of things here. A, Utah closes it out in game six. The Oklahoma City Thunder, as I've shared in passing this year, are one of the most counterfeit basketball teams I've seen in the last 10 years. I mean, it's $3 bill terrorism. And Russell's great. And Carmelo floats and is in and out. And Paul George is a very good offensive player. This is a counterfeit team. Now, the thing with Oklahoma City, it took a punch last night and came back. It's the first time it's taken a significant punch and come back. So maybe that'll flip the whole thing. With Rubio, the way I handle Rubio and a lot of players in the NBA is kind of like analyzing a general manager, where you look at the body of work and subsequently how the team does and improves compared to going
night by night, by
shot
night.
By shot, quarter by quarter, night by night, and then flipping opinions.
Sure.
It's like with Wiggins, you know, in during game three on Twitter, your narrow casting leader where you can have fun. I'm like, Wiggins, regular seasons for show, postseasons for dough.
4 or 6 from deep.
In my basketball heart, do I believe that? Absolutely not.
Right.
I mean, there's no change to the Wiggins opinion for me. I think it's ridiculous he was given the max contract. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it will haunt this team. Same thing with Rubio and Teague. I'm cool with Teague as the guard here because I just get the feeling the head coach was not enamored with Rubio, and if that's the case, Ricky needs to go. I'm a Ricky fan, and I like to see him succeeding in Utah, but I'm not going to go game by game, quarter by quarter with Rubio, Teague, or anybody else. You either know or think they're good, or you don't.
Dig it. Let's move to the Minnesota Twins.
Now with those
swung
Twins.
On and driven to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Tyler Austin drills a bullet three-run home run again in the lower seats in left.
I thought he was, too.
Austin powers one to left.
Oh,
a three-run blast.
WFAN in New York, Yankees flagship radio station. That made it 5-2. In favor of the Yankees after Miguel Sano jumped out to a 2-0 lead with his own home run. And 7-4 the final. Twins had the bases loaded a couple of times, came up empty in both instances.
Yeah.
Didi Gregorius, by the way, has hit a home run in like 6 or 7 straight games against the Twins.
Derek Jeter, this ass.
No kidding. And so far, I like to follow Aaron Gleeman's, you know, statistical yet, you know, putting some soft jabs in there in terms of the Twins versus Yankees historically.
Uh-huh.
They're 33-93 against the Yankees since 2002. The domination is real.
What?
33-93.
You're kidding me.
Against the Twins since
2002. 33-93?
That is accurate, sir.
Oh, my God. What is that, winning like 13% of the games?
It's awful.
And they go against a pitcher today, A, I've never heard of, and B, he's a massive favorite against Kyle Gibson.
Jordan Montgomery is the name.
Yeah, who's Jordan Montgomery?
Gibby hasn't been great, but the team had won like 11 straight games in which he had started. Yeah. A lot of them in which they had to come back later in the game.
You got any hockey in news, Dunor?
I was going to do almost like an "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year."
It's sweet.
Cool game 7, by the way, yesterday. Yep. Boston comes out on top after trailing a fair amount. I mean, that was a heavyweight fight from an offensive perspective
yesterday.
Eastern
Conference hockey generally is.
But finally, after all the complaining, the weeping, and the gnashing of teeth and trying to schedule flights, the NHL just decided maybe we might as well put out the second round of the NHL playoff schedule.
That's not my A topic. If you're a hockey snob, and I'm a casual hockey guy who really appreciates watching hockey in the postseason, Pittsburgh, Washington, it's spectacular.
Game one tonight.
I think it happens every year. I think Pittsburgh wins every year. The fact that Alexander Ovechkin has never been to the conference finals, I mean, one of the great power forwards in the history of the game, maybe the best, who knows, never has been to the conference finals, which is weird. And since the Capitals were down 2-0 to Columbus,
1-4 straight,
replaced their goalie with Holtby.
Yeah.
Who is their go-to goalie, but for whatever the reason they weren't using him, they've won four consecutive.
Trotz had some sort of big spot opinion explaining why he went that way to start the series, but then clearly he went back to Holtby.
Yeah, so this so these series coming up, Nashville is a tepid favorite over Winnipeg and Vegas. And I thought Nashville would be more prohibitively favored. Nashville is not a very big favorite over Winnipeg.
Which goes back to the same freaking thing about these divisional matchups where Winnipeg and Nashville should be the conference final. I mean, if they were both to advance.
Yeah.
Facing each other and putting that juggernaut of a Western Conference matchup now is stupid.
But what about Pittsburgh, Washington? Same thing.
I agree.
Yeah, it's I'm not a fan of the wild card, the way the playoffs are shake out in each conference. I think the 1-8's fine, but who cares? So all of that begins this evening. That's cool.
Yeah, it does. It's Caps and Penguins game one tonight. Vegas hosting San Jose tonight. Nashville, Winnipeg get started. The Music City tomorrow, and then Tampa hosts Boston game one on Saturday. And then finally, just these news. We mentioned it a bit earlier in the show. Josh Allen, highly touted, potentially top five draft pick prospect out of Wyoming. Some negativity. This is the typical, like, 24 hours. It's like Laramie Tunsil. We find out about the gas mask.
Gone with that gas mask,
and
Laramie.
And then he drops a few spots in the draft. It's like Reuben Foster's ex-girlfriend suddenly coming out the day before the draft and saying, no, I lied about all that. He didn't hit me. Just weird news and how it all hits in timely fashion when it comes to the NFL.
Yep.
So not trying to judge the character or the relevancy or anything on that end, but
ain't no doubt.
Josh Allen, from a Twitter perspective, when he was in high school, got a little jiggy with some language. Some of it colorful, some of it even racially charged.
Really?
And this is going back to the 2010-2011.
Yeah.
So this is kids going through changes in high school.
I don't care.
Citing rap lyrics and things like that.
I don't care.
So he mentioned that it was related to rap music, television, including A Modern Family, which was one of his favorite shows as a kid. Yeah. And according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, talking about a team with a pick in the top five, so you can narrow that down however you want, that they didn't see anything but positive from him overall.
Regarding those tweets and Laramie Tunsil's gas mask, which was dated, I'm not asking these guys to babysit my kids. I'm asking them to help me win games. So if you like Josh Allen and you're willing to wait for the inaccurate Wyoming quarterback who might have immense upside, don't worry about all that. Just take him. More NFL draft with a new guest and somebody I'm excited to meet on the radio around the corner. It's 9 to noon.
You're listening to PA.
I feel like you asked me this question 3 years ago in the same spot right here.
But I forgot the answer.
On the Fan.
Draft-related opinions here, there, and everywhere.
PA, I love you and everything else, but you are not our personnel director.
Our next guest makes his 9 to noon debut. His name is Jordan Reed. Jordan loves the NFL draft. He's based in North Carolina. I met him at Ford Field Thanksgiving Day in Detroit last year and have had an immense amount of respect for his work ethic with the NFL draft and enjoy following his opinions on Twitter. You can learn more about Jordan Reed at J-Reed, R-E-I-D, J-Reed Draft Scout via Twitter. He also has a draft guide for $5 to charity if you need last-second opinions into tonight's National Football League draft. And making his 9 to noon debut is Mr. Jordan Reed. Welcome to the show, young man. How are you?
Good, PA. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
This passion you have for the draft and the film you watch to formulate opinions, what's the long play for you? What do you hope to end up doing with it?
Well, the ultimate dream is to end up being a general manager one day. But football is something that I've always loved and grown to love, and it's just something that I love to do. It's my passion, and I'm a firm believer, and if you're passionate about something, you should always go 100 miles an hour after it. And I know I tweet endlessly, and a lot of people are saying that I tweet endlessly, but it's just something that I love to do, and I just love teaching, and I love helping people learn the game of football, and that's what I try to do when I tweet so much.
Shall I call you Jordan, JR? How would you like 9 to noon to address you?
Whatever you prefer.
Now, when I met you, and you and I have corresponded via Twitter, but like when I met you at Ford Field, JR, it was Thanksgiving Day. I know you live in North Carolina. what? Why in the heck were you at Ford Field Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, so I'm a huge Vikings fan. I grew up right in the middle of the Randy Moss era. And even though he switched teams when I was growing up, I still stuck with the team. And ever since then, I've just been a huge Vikings fan. And every year, me and my fiance take a trip to a Vikings game. And I just told her, what you think about going to Ford Field for Thanksgiving? And she was down for the ride, and we just took a trip up. And luckily, I got there 2 hours prior to the game. And I said, oh, man, look at PA. I would love to meet him. And I just went down there, and luckily, I was able to meet you, and it was a great experience.
What have you planned out your 2018 trip, Mr. Reed?
Not yet. I'm going to wait till the actual schedule releases, which it already did, excuse me. So that's actually in the works right now.
Yeah.
I try to come to a game during the latter half of the season, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm targeting right now.
You still are based in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, along with Ron Rivera, the coach. What are your opinions, and like, what are you vibing for Carolina in the first round of the draft?
I think they'll probably either go receiver or cornerback. Now, there is some talk of them going interior offensive line because of Ryan Khalil, his expected retirement after this season.
Yeah.
So maybe a guy like Frank Ragnow may be there for them at that spot at 24. But there's a lot of buzz about them taking DJ Moore. And if you go back and look at Maryland's pro day, you can see North Turner just gushing over him and instructing some things at his pro day. So DJ Moore definitely probably is a possibility for them at that spot at 24 as well.
Jordan Reed, Elite Football Mind, watches film, has what I think are wonderful opinions. I followed him on Twitter for quite some time. He's making his 9 to noon debut. Very much into the draft. Very good at what he does, in my opinion. And you can follow him via Twitter at JReedDraftScout. And Reed is R-E-I-D, at JReedDraftScout. All right, main man, Vikings at 30, let it loose.
So just analyzing Rick Spielman's press conference from the other day, saying that there's five positions possible at this spot. Mm-hmm. So what I got from that is that it could either be tight end, offensive line, defensive tackle, cornerback, or safety. I think those are the five possibilities at this spot. Me personally, I would like some type of offensive line or cornerback at this spot. And luckily, this is a strong draft class for that. So I'm excited to see the route that they go with this. My opinion, if I had to make a prediction, I would go with Connor Williams because I think he's a guy that's going to slip down into this spot because there is some questions about as if he's a tackle or a guard because he does lack some length as far as arm length. He just meets the minimum requirement threshold as far as arm length. So there is a possibility that he does slip to 30.
How do you handle Georgia offensive lineman Isaiah Wynn and that labrum?
Well, everyone knows I'm a huge fan of Isaiah Wynn, and labrums are actually a very constant injury or a very popular injury within offensive and defensive linemen.
Right.
The good thing for him is that he had the surgery the first week of February. So it's usually a 4 to 6 month recovery period. So he does have some time to rehab from that injury. Now, what I saw from Wynn at the Senior Bowl and last season was that he fought through that injury. And that's just a credit to his grit and his performance from last season. And his film is just phenomenal. I think he would be an outstanding addition to this Vikings interior offensive line. Now, I know that you're a little bit down on him, but I just think he would be one of the best case scenarios for this team at 30.
I love him, and I agree with your opinion. The labrum situation very, very much scares me, especially up 13-3, where I think if you hit on the right offensive lineman at 30, in the win-now mentality for the Vikings, the labrum situation, man, scares me, to be honest with you, JR. And, you know, a fair amount of it has to do with being around offensive and defensive linemen, including like Steve Hutchinson, who battled a labrum problem for months. I mean, even after surgery and after it was fixed. So, yeah, I must concede that does scare me, and I have other preferences at 30. Billy Price and his peck. How do you handle that?
It's a tough situation, and we all know he's been a very popular name as far as a guy that fans want to add on the interior offensive line. Now, what are you getting with Billy Price? You're getting a guy that's just a tough, hard-nosed, gritty guy, very advanced technique. And, of course, he already has one of his better friends from college already on the team in center, Pat Elflein. So they already have that chemistry that you talk about going back to their college days. The Peck injury is a bit scary because of the whole Brandon Fusco ordeal going back to that, but yep. It would be unfair to him to compare both of those situations. So obviously I don't have access to his medical reports or anything like that. So I'm sure this is a question that they will ask Eric Sugarman in the draft room because he's a guy that has access to that information, but I think it would be a great pick as well if they were to add Price.
How old are you?
I'm actually 26.
If you want to become a general manager, you need to begin as a scout. You know that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, which means, you know, you probably need, maybe you've done this and it hasn't worked or whatever, and I ain't trying to get too deep into your business here, but I respect your passion, man. And just knowing, working in the NFL for a decade and a half, that if there's some type of internship program within a personnel department of any team in the NFL, you start there, you get in, you be yourself, you outwork people, you offer up good opinions, you start as a scout. The scout lifestyle quite frequently is not glamorous, man. I mean, it's a grind during the NFL's regular season. And then from that, you move to like personnel department, assistant personnel individual, then like general manager, vice president of football operations. So that's how I would start if I were you. I really couldn't even point you in the right direction, but don't you agree? Like interning, if possible, wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I've gotten advice from a lot of other outside people as well. And one of the most constant things that they have told me is that it's a very rough life. You're living out of a hotel. You very rarely ever get to see your family, but you can very easily reap the benefits of it 5 to 10 years down the road when you are in that general manager seat.
Yep. Who are some, JR, who are some non-first round rookies you like for the Vikings and why?
So I'm a big believer in that the Vikings need a number three running back to replace Jerick McKinnon.
Yep.
And one of my favorites in this draft, his name is Nyheim Hines from NC State. They actually had him down on a top 30 visit in Minnesota. And what I love about him is that he brings something to the table that Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray can't do. I think he's a much better receiver out of the backfield than both of those guys are.
Yeah.
And another asset that he brings to the table is that he's a very dynamic return specialist. So I think they probably will target him maybe in the third or fourth round, mm-hmm. and I think he will be a fantastic addition.
The Minnesota Vikings hooked the San Francisco 49ers week one, Mr. Reed. Who do you like for the Niners at nine?
I'm going to go with – I like Roquan Smith there. Now, I know there's been some bad news coming out about Reuben Foster and his whole entire situation.
Yep.
And I just don't think they need to depend on him coming back at this point, even if the charges prove to not be true. I just think adding him in the middle of that defense would be incredible. And they already have their face of the franchise on the offensive side of the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo, which yep. they got for a second-round pick last year from the Patriots. Now they need to find that guy on the defensive side of the ball to be their face of the franchise. And I think Roquan Smith can bring that to the table for them.
What do you think about the Cowboys at 19?
So reportedly, it's down to three guys for them that they like the most. Mm-hmm. One of them, his name is Vita Vea, defensive tackle from Washington.
Yep.
Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker from Boise State.
Yep.
And another guy that I alluded to earlier, which is DJ Moore, which is the wide receiver from Maryland. And I think wide receiver probably is their biggest need right now after the whole Dez Bryant saga came to a close.
Mm-hmm.
So I think DJ Moore would be a great addition for them.
Jordan Reed at J Reed Draft Scout. Reed is R-E-I-D at J Reed Draft Scout via Twitter. Which big name quarterback do you like most and why?
I'm a big Josh Rosen fan. I think he epitomizes everything that you want to see in a franchise quarterback. He has everything that you look for from a mechanic standpoint. His footwork is very clean. I love his mental makeup, and I love that he just wants to be the best in everything that he does. Now, there is some flags about his personality that it rubs people the wrong way, but I actually like it. I like that he wants to know why about everything because he wants to not only master what coaches are being or what's being taught to him, but he wants to teach it to his teammates as well. And he already came out and said that he wants to be mentioned in the same conversation as guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And I just think he has that type of charisma and that type of personality to achieve those goals.
If the Vikings don't go offensive line at 30 or early second round, what should they do?
I would go cornerback. I think they have some questions behind Mackenzie Alexander. They don't really have that fourth guy, and we don't know if Terrence Newman is coming back or not, but they still need some youth there. And with Trey Wayne's fifth year option coming up, which I think they will exercise, I still think they need to plan for life after him just in case he becomes too pricey because, I mean, let's just be honest, they have some guys that are higher on the totem pole right now that are going to have some hefty contracts here in the future. So a guy like a Jair Alexander would be a great pick. Mike Hughes would be another guy. And a guy, if they choose to wait in the second round, that I think could be there is Isaiah Oliver from Colorado. I think any of those guys would be fantastic additions.
Why do you like UCLA tackle Colton Miller to Gruden and the Raiders?
That actually was just a joke. So my little countdown I did on Twitter for the draft was I was kind of trolling fans because Colton Miller definitely isn't a fan favorite amongst draft Twitter or Twitter in general. But I think
I wouldn't mind Colton Miller at 30 for the Vikings if he were available.
I'm not a big fan of Colton Miller. He's more of a projection or potential upside type of guy right now. Now, he's extremely athletic. That's the one thing you're getting with him, but I think he lacks some strength, and his pass sets and pass protection are a big question mark for me. And I just think the flaws that he has right now, they're very hard to correct.
Make Cleveland better with 1-4.
I would say Sam Darnold and Bradley Chubb because pairing Bradley Chubb and Myles Garrett, imagine those guys coming off the edge for an entire game. I think that would be amazing. And obviously, you get Sam Darnold, who's just 20 years old, a guy that has fantastic upside. You don't need him to play right away. You got Tyrod Taylor to start a handful of games, so there is no rush to start Sam Darnold right away. And I just think he's a guy you can slowly bring along to be your signal caller for the future.
Last one. The Browns have four of the first 35 picks. No way they keep all those picks, right?
I think they will.
Really?
I think John Dorsey is big on adding talent because, I mean, let's just be honest, the guy that they just got rid of, Sashi Brown, he was known for trading back. Now that they have those picks, they want them to turn into players. And they have a lot of needs to address. They have a need at quarterback, obviously. They probably need another edge rusher. And obviously they need another offensive tackle with Joe Thomas out of the door now. So they have some positions to address.
Jordan, I very much enjoyed the conversation. Enjoy the draft this evening, and thanks a lot for helping 9 to noon, okay?
Same to you, PA. Thanks for having me.
Jordan Reed, into All 22, into the NFL draft, very much into the Vikings, and you can follow him like I do via Twitter, at @JReedDraftScout. Wobby from the Dallas Draft, next.
You're listening to PA.
So I see Paul, and of course, sure. You know, my heart melts, and everything, every other part of me melts.
Right.
On the Fan.
He's so Bobby. If you didn't know, he's PA's parent. Come down with the spectacles. He's so Bobby. Make it from you now. Remember his name on the show.
Wobby.
W-O-B-B-Y. Who dat? Who dat? W-O-B-B-Y.
Who dat? Who dat? W-O-B-B-Y. Who dat? Who dat? W-O-B-B-Y.
Unbiased Vikings opinion from Mike Wobshaw.
P.A. Parrot.
Wobby.
He's so Wobby. If you didn't know, he's P.A.'s parrot.
Hi.
Dallas seems like it's great. You're there for the Vikings Entertainment Network and Vikings.com. And I'm Paul Allen. I'm PA. I'm not DA. I'm not devil's advocate guy. And I'm not the guy that goes out of his way to, like, find the other opinion compared to, like, what the public has. With that said, I'm looking at your AT&T Stadium picture of the Dallas draft on Twitter,
yeah.
which is at Wobby. And, I mean, hey, I guess if the draft is at U.S. Bank Stadium or it's here in Erotic City or whatever, and I'm doing a draft-related draft party show or whatever, of course, I look forward to that. It seems fun. When in terms of sitting upper deck to watch a draft or doing a draft party or watching it on TV, it just looks like it'd be very difficult to do that at AT&T Stadium and have a good time.
Yeah, but here's what I think the deal is. I think
It's like you love the NFL draft. You're a rube. You're a fan. Whatever. And it's a super cool event, and you watch it on TV every year.
Yeah.
But now the draft is moving from place to place now. So I think it's one of the deals where it's like, when it's in my city, I'm going to go to it.
Yeah.
And that one year that it's in my city, I'm not going to get to be in my house in my man cave or my woman cave and watch it and put my feet up and chill and go to the bathroom when I want.
Yeah.
That one year it's in my city, I'm going to go. And I'm going to put up with the crowds, and I'm going to put up with the long lines, and I'm going to put up with the expensive food, because it's the novelty of being at the draft. And then the next year, it's not going to be in my city, and I'm going to be back in my house watching from there. I think that's what the deal is.
Off everything you just said, I got to give you one of these. Box. Good box. Because it reminds me of my take on Radio Row. And I'm a childish 52. I mean, I'm antithetical to a curmudgeon. So I don't mind doing new things and going to live sporting events and stuff like that. But like up to Radio Row, you know, I'm like, I never wanted to go to a Radio Row at any Super Bowl. Couldn't care less. Right. Then I started doing Radio Row on Monday. It was a little snoozy, but then it like picked up day after day. And I loved Radio Row up to the Super Bowl, even though our team wasn't playing in it.
Right. But like exactly. And for Cowboys fans, you know, I mean, I'm looking at some of these mock drafts, like Mayock. I know you and I were texting about it because you and I text and talk more than people know. So we were texting about Mayock's mock draft last night. He had this wide receiver from SMU named Cortland Sutton going to the Cowboys. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you're like, we need a receiver and the draft is in our town. And receivers are fun because when we draft them, they play highlights of guys making great catches and all that stuff. We're not watching highlights of alignment blocking. Like, it's super cool to go to the draft if you're a Cowboys fan this year. I mean, you're going to probably take a receiver. They're going to show all of his highlights up on the huge board that they have, and you're going to cheer, and it's going to be awesome. Like, Cowboys fans are going to have a great time.
I got a spotty. You want him?
Yeah.
Saturday, I like Central Florida tight end Jordan Akins. Went deep diving on him this week from the sinkhole, and he's 25 years of age. When I watch him, it's like there are a couple of players that I've watched, like three players. And Mayock established this take for a UCLA guy last night, so I'm gravy training it, but I think it's dead right. Like the UCLA tackle reminds me of his name's escaping me, Colton Miller. He reminds me of Nate Solder. Rashad Penny, the running back from San Diego State, he reminds me of Fred Taylor. They're just kind of built the same way. They play the same way. Got a little twitch to him. This Jordan Akins, when I watch this Jordan Akins, man, he reminds me of Trey Burton. He just overall reminds me of what I remember from Trey Burton's from the Eagles, now of the Bears. So I might spot up this weekend with Central Florida tight end Jordan Akins. He's 25 years of age. Does that in any way concern you?
No, I'm fine with that. But here's what does concern me, maybe.
Yeah.
So, like, you say he reminds you of Trey Burton, which is cool because Trey Burton's really good, and John DeFilippo was with Trey Burton last year, so obviously we like a Trey Burton-like player. That's great. But who's our, like, when it comes with to when you think about our tight ends, who's the guy that we put in there with heavy personnel who's going to mash on some DN or linebacker and help us in the running game and the short yardage? Because if he's like Trey Burton, it's not him.
Right. What do I look like, Mycole Pruitt?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, we can take that guy, but
we got Morgan. Isn't it more? No, you know, it's not Morgan. It's what Shurmur did last year, and I bet you DeFilippo does this year. Extra offensive linemen.
Okay, third tackle. That's fine.
It's Avion Collins.
But that's fine. But when you bring him in, you know you're running. You're not having Avion Collins run a route and get open in the end zone. You need a guy who also has some threat to run a route and catch a pass where you know it's not a run. And I'm not saying that David Morgan can't block and Rudy can't do it. Those guys can do it, but I want those guys also catching pass. I want a big, beefy, like, remember what San Francisco did to us in week one of 2015? I want tight ends like that. We're going to, I mean, maybe Blake Bell can do it.
I don't. Well, you know, Blake Bell might be the answer to that, and I forgot about Blake Bell. But, you know, we just watched Zach Ertz the entire postseason and in the Super Bowl never line up next to the tackle and be open every time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true.
So, and you know, post-Jerry is right. Now, I know we got Kendall right, and honestly, I think Kendall's going to make the team. So maybe the point is null and void. But you can offset your need for a slot receiver and a field-stretching tight end by just taking the field-stretching tight end and making him the slot receiver.
And I will gravy train this take that you have right now, because when you think about our quarterback this year, and we've had to prepare for Kirk Cousins the last several years. And one thing that you and I always noticed and talked about with Cousins, he had great tight ends in Washington. You know, he used those guys a lot. Like he made Vernon Davis play really well. Obviously Jordan Reed was really good.
Yeah.
Niles Paul was pretty good. I mean, bingo. I mean, Cousins loves to throw to tight ends and use tight ends in the middle of the field as well. So maybe off of that point and yep. what you're saying, maybe this guy is the tight end that we want on day three.
What's up in Dallas right now, day of the draft?
It's sort of a chill morning. I mean, you feel like you're not doing what you should be doing. You're being lazy. It's sort of calm before the storm in the morning. Now we're getting to the point where it's, you know, you got to get ready. I mean, there's a red carpet event today, so I'm wearing a suit and tie. Uh-huh. I mean, I got to put a suit and tie on.
Sweet.
I'm going to a red carpet event at AT&T Stadium that begins, I think, at 5 o'clock. So, you know, you got to get there early to set up because everyone and their brother, media-wise, is going to be there, and they want great spots on the red carpet. So you got to get there at like 2:30.
Yeah.
Set up your tripod, get your spot on the red carpet.
Sounds fun.
And it's a lot of hurry up and wait. But then at 5 o'clock, it gets glitzy, and you get Jim Mora Jr. walking down the red carpet, and Nick Saban walking down the red carpet, and the draft prospects who are invited here walking down the red carpet. Do some interviews, talk to them a little bit, whatever, and then the draft gets going at 7 o'clock.
With the trip to Dallas, the Dallas draft, and the draft and everything overall, Wob's call. What have you and the Vikings Entertainment Network done? And like, what can people see at Vikings.com?
Yesterday was a super cool event. NFL Media / NFL Network makes its talent available for anyone who's there to cover the draft, like team websites. You go there and you interview these guys. So Daniel Jeremiah was there, Steve Mariucci, Michael Irvin, whoever they have on NFL Network that analyzes the draft is there and is available, and you interview them. So, like, we did a super cool interview with Steve Mariucci because he's so animated and yeah. excited and positive. So we did an interview with him. The first thing we asked him was about Zim, you know, and he like reflected back on coaching against Mike Zimmer and what that was like. And then I ended the interview by asking him who his favorite Viking was. Of course, he said Favre, because Favre was a Viking and he loves Brett Favre. So then he told a story about coaching Favre and Mike Holmgren and playing the Vikings. So you get super cool interviews like that. And then Michael Irvin had great things to say about Mike Zimmer, and Michael Irvin made a great point. And I told Zim that he said this. He's like, look at what Zim has done for you guys and what he's had to deal with at quarterback. Not that the quarterbacks aren't good, but that there's been no consistency. He's found a way to have a good team every year despite
no doubt.
That. So now imagine what he's going to be able to do with a guy like Kirk Cousins who can play and be consistent and be there year after year. So we had some pretty cool interviews, and they're all up on the website right now.
Any steam down there, non-Vikings related with the draft?
I mean, you see stuff float. I am so hesitant to believe much of the steam that comes out of nowhere the day before the draft.
Agreed.
You know? I mean, it's really hard to believe it all, so it's hard to see through a lot of it. I don't think there's any major steam. It's just everyone is certain that, you know, four quarterbacks are going in the first six or seven picks.
Yeah.
Everyone is certain that the Bills are trading up to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is wondering where Josh Allen is going to go, and they're looking at the Broncos and the Bills for that. So I think there's going to be a lot of trades, and I think there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken early, and I think it's going to lead to this draft being the most watched draft in history.
If the over under on quarterbacks taken in the first round was 5.5, which way would you bet
it? That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. Over. I would bet over because
you got Mason Rudolph in the first round, though.
Yeah, but here's why. Here's why. Because I don't think quarterbacks 4 and 5 are going to go in the 20s. I think quarterbacks 4 and 5 are going to be gone before 20.
Yeah.
So that means we're going to have 12 picks from 21 to 32.
Yeah.
Where a team that didn't get a quarterback in the first round has got to get back up in there and get one at the end of the first round before the first round is over. They want that fifth-year option, and they don't want a bunch of teams thinking about how they can get up into the top of the second round overnight. So I think because there's going to be so many picks from quarterback 5 to quarterback 6, there should be 11 or 12 picks in between there. Some team's going to get antsy and get up there and do it, especially a team like the Eagles. Like a quarterback could go at 32 because when we were coming back from this media event yesterday, Curly and I were riding in the car with Ross Tucker, and Ross Tucker's like 1,000,000% the Philadelphia Eagles are trading out of 32 because they have no third or fourth round picks. So I think that a team's going to get up there and maybe take a quarterback as far as or as late as 32. So if you bet the under on 5.5, you're sweating all the way through pick 32 because the Eagles are getting out.
Wobby, Vikings.com, Vikings Entertainment Network. He's at the Dallas Draft. He will, Wobby, along with Pete Bursich and I, will be doing a radio show from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center tomorrow evening, beginning, I believe, at 6:30. Through the majority, if not all, of round two, maybe into round three. That'll be tomorrow from the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. A lot of my slash our old friends, and I say my because I came up with Linehan and you came in after Linehan, but like my slash our old friends, Linehan, Shermer, Uncle Norv, Musgrave. You got those four right there. I think all four of them end up with offensive players in the first round. And if I were to like handpick players, feels like receiver for Dallas. Like Saquon Barkley for Shermer. Now remember with Norv and his son Scott is Cam's coach, the quarterback's coach in Carolina. Remember when they took Stephon Diggs here and how far back Scott went with Stephon? He had started following him since he was age 15. I don't think that's necessarily the case with DJ Moore. But Stephon and DJ have similar stories. So in sneaky fashion, I'm kind of putting DJ Moore on Carolina a little bit. And then Bill Musgrave, quirky Bill Musgrave at 5. feels like offensive lineman, feels like quarterback. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the only way you're super special, our friends, getting offensive players theory, which I love, by the way, because it's creative. I think the only way that gets upset is if the Broncos stay put at 5.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Bradley Chubb is still there.
Yep.
Because now you...
Oh, my God. Chubb, can you imagine Von Miller on one side and Bradley Chubb on the other?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically...
Oh, my God.
Like, what you would have to do if you're playing them is... Every time you're on offense and Chubb and Miller are on the field, you're running at them.
Yeah.
And then when one of them takes a breather and they take one of those guys out, that's when you can pass. Otherwise, you're getting sacked every time.
I love that. The old Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware angle provided us by Norv. And I actually, as calling the game at Denver, I actually had you look through binoculars to figure, because we kind of knew what was going to happen. When one of them was out, they were running. When the other was out, they were passing. you had these stupid hand signals.
Yes.
And you were throwing me off in the first quarter, so much so we went to break and I had to go, look, Wobby, write it on a card, so-and-so out, so-and-so in, and flash it to me so I can predict run or pass.
Right. Normally the Vox likes to be told which running backs are in the game. For that game at Denver, Vox wanted to be told which defensive ends were in the game. Maybe first time in NFL history that a Vox has wanted to know which DNs were in the game. Because we had to tell. We knew what the deal was. That's how good Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware were together. You couldn't even pass against them that year.
Well, it was the second time. Because remember, we knew when we were at Oakland, and we knew we would beat the Raiders, and Zimmer was going to put Derek Carr in a bad game, and he did, is when Khalil Mack was out of the game, they were running at Aldon Smith. When they both were in, they were running at Aldon Smith. And when Khalil Mack was out of the game, they were going to do everything away from him. And it worked beautifully, but it was an anxiety-filled headache trying to figure it out as the proverbial bullets are flying.
Yeah, that was also a game, I think, where there was like a Cordarrelle Patterson run. You know, I can't remember what the details were of that, but that was a fun game. Also, Adrian had a super long run that day.
Oh, no, with the Cordarrelle Patterson kick return or something, for whatever the reason, I think our line dropped and it wasn't on the air. So it's like, you know, Prefer being Prefer, I see him at the facility and he's like, how'd the Cordarrelle Patterson kick return touchdown sound?
Yeah.
Well, it sounded great, Mike. Yeah, I got a couple of he's looses, and this is not Detroit, and oh, thank heaven, I got them all in there, Mike. Anyway, best of luck next week, okay?
and it works, and it works, because he's not going to go back and check on you. He's just going to trust what you say, so it ended up working.
Okay, now here's the deal. I don't care what Ziggy and Mark Wilf, Steve LaCroix, Brian Harper, Scott Kegley, and Carly Bonk think about you. I think you do a fantastic job, Mike. And I do not think that I absolutely agree there was a reason to send you to Dallas. So don't feel guilty about that. I can't wait for you to get back. And we'll do an excellent radio show tomorrow night.
Is there time for two more?
Time for no more?
Dallas, sneaky good trip, by the way. I like Dallas. I wish Dallas was on our schedule more often. Short flight, central time zone, warm weather, good food, clean city. I'm very pro Dallas.
Thanks, Amelia Earhart.
I love you. Bye. Well,
bye. Here's the deal. Final segment, all about you, but listen to me closely because I'd like your help. 9 to noon never asks you for anything, but now we are, so hopefully you come through. You're going to call this radio show. You are going to predict what the Vikings are going to do at 30. You are going to do it quickly. Okay? So you're going to say your name. I'll welcome you. Terry from Chanhassen, welcome. You then will say, this is Terry from Chanhassen. At 30, the Vikings will take so-and-so. Because, then just a quick little opinion, and then I'll go on to the next call. But here's the deal. I'm going to chronicle the names and your prediction. And tomorrow, or maybe Monday, we are going to identify elite football minds. Who is seeing this clearly? What is your name? What are we going to do? And a quick little why. And when I say quick, I mean like 5 seconds or less. Paul, Eden Prairie, Frank Ragnow, because he's from Chanhassen and I'm provincial. I'll hang up and listen. Could be something like that. 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326. We're going to fly through these phone calls, boys and girls. We're going to have about 6 or 7 minutes to do it, though. 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326. This is 9 to noon.
9 to noon trivia question. Is PA listening or just waiting for his turn to talk? Your call's coming up right here on The Fan.
I can't wait until tomorrow. 'Cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow.
NFL Draft.
Tomorrow could never come.
Hey. All right, in closing, here's the deal. Yours truly doing a draft party radio show at U.S. Bank Stadium this evening with Paul Charchian and Ben Lieber. Fox 9 has a draft TV special featuring Hobie Artigue, Don Mitchell, yours truly, Ben Lieber, Ron Johnson. We all will be part of it, 6:30 to 7. Watch that. then listen to The Fan at 7 o'clock. From my standpoint, you know, before we unfurl these draft opinions, these quick-fire opinions to see who has the great football mind and why, for me, I feel pretty comfortable. There are six legitimate scenarios for the Minnesota Vikings at 30. And I've kind of slow played and sidestepped and daggered and just I've kind of gone over all of them really all this week. I'm not in the business until tonight. Okay, when we start that show at 7 and we're walking up to 30, I'm not in the business of laying out exactly how I think it's going to work. Simply because it's from 30, it's impossible to do. But I feel very squared away with the Vikings' approach this evening. And if you're interested in following along with those scenarios, listen to the radio show tonight. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I'd say listen to the whole thing because we love you and you love us. But from the time, like middle of the draft to 29, the pick in front of us, that's when I start. That's as Common would put it. You know, you have ground chuck, you have ribeye. You have filet, and you have what I think is gross, the Kobe beef. I don't like the texture. The top shelf stuff will be unveiled this evening, pretty much from picks 15 on. I do firmly believe offensive linemen will be taken at 30, but not just any offensive lineman. But there's a lot to share. Can't wait to share it with you this evening on the radio. I will share none of it via Twitter. I don't operate that way. I'd like you to listen to the draft show. Because I feel comfortable with six scenarios the Vikings have for 30 this evening. This is about you. Name, where you're from, your pick, and a quick why. Scott, go.
Yeah, this is Scott from Randolph. I'm going to go with Billy Price. I think camaraderie is a huge deal, especially on the offensive line, and I don't think his past relationship with Elfine should be overlooked in the draft room.
Scott from Randolph, Billy Price, thank you. Another Scott, go.
Vikings trade pick 30 to the Oakland Raiders, moving back up. Vikings in the second round then go with Billy Price.
Okay, so that's a trade 30 to Oakland. And, okay,
yep. Somehow... 42, I believe we'd be at.
I see. And you know what? That could be a price spot. Well done. I like that. Thank you. Warren?
Yeah, the Vikes, I believe, will make two trades. One of them, they'll wind up with Austin Corbett. Here's a name you haven't heard yet, and it's high on their list, is Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon. I think that he's going to be with them.
Okay, so you think two trades and end up with Nevada guard Austin Corbett.
Yeah, and then here's what they're going to do.
No, wait, you're taking too long. I'm not negative on that opinion. And believe it or not, he's part of one of my six scenarios I will share this evening. Very well done, Warren. Paul, go.
Yeah, this is Paul from Laconia. I have Billy Price as well. I think the Elfline connection is going to be awesome. It's going to be like Kendricks and Barr all over again.
Thank you. Josh, Minneapolis, go.
Yep, Josh, Minneapolis. I'm going to go with Isaiah Wynn off Clemson, Georgia. Reason being, he's versatile, so if a tackle or guard goes down, he can be our swing guy.
Thank you. Nate, hello.
Hi, this is Nate in Minneapolis, piggybacking off the last guy. I think the Vikings are going to trade down from number 30. They're going to pick Isaiah Oliver. Reason being, I think Mike Zimmer loves his cornerbacks. He's not going to pass up on that. And also, I think Rick Spielman is still a little hurt after Matt Khalil didn't work out as a first round.
Thank you. Terry, go.
Hi, this is Terry. I'm taking Hayden Hurst. I think we're going to jump ahead of the New Orleans Saints. The reason is Flip and Cousins love tight ends.
Yeah.
And we can give up a more Borwich six-round pick.
Thank you. Bill, go. Bill, hurry. Anthony, go, hurry.
Anthony in Dallas, the Minnesota Vikings trade up to, sounds like, 17 or 18 to draft Derwin James at a DBU.
I think that's a super long shot, but I appreciate your work. Thank you. Pete, go.
Hey, well, I'd love to get Ragnow. I think the Vikes are going to stay pat and take James Daniels, center out of Iowa.
Who?
James Daniels.
Okay, at 30.
At 30.
Okay, thank you. Steve, go.
At 30, the Vikings are going to take offensive lineman from the University of Minnesota, Tommy Olsen, because Meatball likes him.
Thank you, Stu. Jason, last one.
Orlando, trade out, mid-round, Orlando Brown.
Oh, Brown with the trade. Thank you. Appreciate it. I will go with Frank Ragnow, offensive lineman from Arkansas, if he's available. Eric Nordquist, wrap on show.
Thanks to the Paddy Wagon for sponsoring the 9 to noon show wrap, 61st and Nicollet, Minneapolis. The Paddy Wagon. Go get it. Today is the most wonderful time of the year. NFL draft signifies that spring is finally here. All of the experts and premature speculation and opinions reaches their culmination. The Wolves are no longer in the picture today, and the Wild were nice enough to limp out of the way so we can focus on the reconstruction of the dream. PA's excitement on his sleeve, his face like a meme. So, what should the Vikes do at 30? Trudging through the mud as the water gets dirty. Join us at the bank in Minneapolis tonight at 7, day one of the journey back to Vikings heaven.
And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Oh my God!
NFL Draft.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.